Hello and welcome to our site as we return to our series Back to the Bible. This morning we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, so if you have a Bible handy, would you please turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in the middle of the Bible, Ecclesiastes, and we're reading from chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Verse 12, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone else who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom, and also of madness and folly. But I learnt that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief. Just so far, and may God bless us as we share together in this strange book that we find in the middle of the Bible, entitled Ecclesiastes. I've entitled our sermon, Chasing After the Wind. As we mentioned last Sunday, the Song of Songs was likely written when Solomon was a young man in love, the Book of Proverbs when he was a middle-aged man trying to stop his son from messing up his life as he had done, and the Book of Ecclesiastes written when Solomon was an older man, looking back over his life and listing a number of observations and insights from his own experience. We could entitle it The Reflections of a Wealthy Old King, subtitle, Who Tried Everything Under the Sun to Find Meaning and Fulfillment, and ended up with this conclusion. All the things a man can do on earth are meaningless. Try what you may, it's all in vain. Trying to find happiness and fulfillment in this world is like chasing after the wind. The book is almost like a sermon where Solomon is the preacher, or a rather one-sided parliamentary debate where he's the Speaker of the House, or he's the lecturer or teacher or philosopher who is very determined to get his point across to his class. Listen up, he's saying, I need to educate you with regard to this thing called life. In fact, his opening gambit is shocking, isn't it? Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Vanity, chasing the wind. So Solomon has a rather oblique outlook on the universe. The same things happen every day on earth, and he has a very narrow outlook on life. In fact, he has no vision of anything beyond the present world. He's dealing with things as they are under the sun, S-U-N. But if anyone ever tried everything under the sun to find lasting pleasure and satisfaction, it was certainly Solomon the king. So he outlines for us in great detail his quest. He was a king who had the power and the wealth to do anything he wanted. So he devoted himself to study everything under the sun, science, philosophy, gaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He tried pleasure, food, wine and women. He undertook agricultural projects, construction projects. He gathered works of art from all over the world. He filled his life with music and entertainment. He tried literally everything to find happiness, fulfillment, and the meaning of life itself. But the more he tried, the more depressing it seemed to become. The satisfaction he was looking for in life under the sun eluded him. Every beckoning oasis in this desert under the sun was simply a mirage, lacking in abiding reality. In many ways, the book of Ecclesiastes is the strangest book in the Bible. It sometimes says the most outrageous things, but actually it's as up-to-date as the 21st century. It has a strangely contemporary ring about it, because it contains many of the philosophical ideas that float around today. David Pawson lists them nicely for us. It contains the idea of fatalism, whatever will be, existentialism, live for now, live in the present moment, you have no guarantee of tomorrow, let your existence be in the now, chauvinism, men are superior to women. The book contains hints of hedonism, living for pleasure, cynicism, even good things aren't as good as they seem, and pessimism, things are bound to get worse. All of these things, and maybe we could add a few more, feature in Solomon's observations of life from a human, earthbound, time-bound, philosophical point of view. They're Solomon's observations and conclusions. There are two overriding themes that emerge from the book of Ecclesiastes. The first is this: trying to live without God and trying to figure life out without the solid reference point of the Word of God is an exercise in futility. Doing your own thing, in the end, is futile. The second comes through best in his conclusion of the matter at the end of the book. If you turn with me to the final chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, Solomon says there in verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach, when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" And then verse 6, "Remember him, that is God, before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. And then verses 13 and 14, the last two chapters of the book. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Solomon's conclusion then, as he comes to the end of this book, is enjoy life, reverence God, and keep his commandments, because at the end you'll stand before God to give an account of your life, a detailed account of everything you have ever done, the good and the bad. So let's unpack the first theme a little. To think that anything under the sun will bring you lasting happiness and fulfillment is an illusion, according to King Solomon. I wonder if anybody listening to my voice this morning, or whenever you're listening, ever visited the Circus of Illusion when it was still one of the many attractions in the Orlando area in Florida in the USA. I went there 45 years ago when I had a day off from a preaching series of meetings in a church not far from Walt Disney World. It was a stunning show, that Circus of Illusion. Those people were masters of illusion, the world's best, and for an hour we watched people and things appear and somehow disappear. It was a mind-boggling experience, to say the least. Amazing the tricks that your brain can play on you sometimes. Ecclesiastes tells us life is a bit like a circus sometimes, and full of illusions. The things life on earth offers us seem so real, so plausible, so attractive, so fulfilling, and we chase after them like Solomon did, only to find we have been chasing the wind. They are illusions. Think of the first one, the illusion that money and natural things can satisfy, that material things, or the accumulation of money and material things, can bring you ultimate satisfaction. Solomon thought so, so he tried it with all of his heart. Ecclesiastes 10:19, he says, money is the answer for everything. A lot of people seem to think so. Well, Solomon amassed gold and silver, tons and tons of it. He built palaces and parks like the world had never known before. But in the end, it left him with an empty soul. There he was, bulging with money and stuff, and empty inside his heart, finding it was meaningless, it was vanity. It was like chasing the wind. Jesus reminds us in the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21 of this particular situation. If you'd like to turn there to the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 12 and from verse 13, the parable of the rich fool. Listen to what Jesus says to his listeners. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, of avarice. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What a statement, and how true. A man's life, says Jesus, does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Solomon found that out. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a fantastic crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many, many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And Jesus concludes the parable with this verse, verse 21 of Luke 12. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. In fact, Jesus nailed this illusion that money and material things can bring ultimate satisfaction. Jesus nailed this illusion once and for all when he said, as it's recorded in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a person should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a person give in exchange for his life? What about the illusion that you'll be exempt from trouble and hardship or serious illness, that somehow you'll escape such things? Me, end up terminally ill? Me, have a serious accident? Me? Never. And yet we persist in the illusion that trouble will somehow escape us. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Christianity is not a gigantic insurance policy, some kind of exemption from hardship and suffering. It comes with a guarantee that you will be hated by the world that hated Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, anybody who seeks to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's an illusion for anyone to think that trouble won't come his way at some point. What about the illusion that love and marriage will fill your heart to overflowing with lasting joy and happiness? Well, Solomon gave that one a full go. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and look where it got him. It got him into deep, deep trouble. It was an illusion. It is an illusion. Getting married won't always fill your heart to overflowing with lasting joy and happiness. Moonlight and roses soon become daylight and dishes. You sink into her arms on honeymoon, but when you get back home, your arms are in her sink. It's an illusion to think that love and marriage will fill your heart to overflowing with lasting joy and happiness all the days of your life. Solomon tried that with all his gusto, and it brought him, in the end, trouble, hardship, and problems. It was an illusion. What about the illusion that people won't let you down? All through life there'll be people who let you down, dear friend, until the undertaker lets you down. Do you know what it takes? Do you know what it's like when people you loved and trusted stab you in the back? Jesus knows what that's like. He didn't entrust himself to people fully because he knew what was in people, that they had a heart that was depraved and untrustworthy. Judas betrayed Jesus. Simon Peter denied him the night he was arrested. All the disciples forsook him and fled. It's an illusion to think that people won't let you down. Here's an illusion that applies to us today. The illusion that what is virtual is reality. The smartphone screen is producing a whole generation of young people who have been duped into thinking that virtual reality is reality. And it's already causing major problems around the globe. Countries are beginning to formulate regulations so that children are not being dominated by that little screen in their hands. There's more mental illness and social and moral dysfunction today than this world has ever known. It's an absolute illusion to think that virtual reality is actual reality. And what of this illusion, Pope Francis, that all you need is religion, that all religions are just different ways to God, the illusion that religion will save you, or that your good works will save you, that religion and good works, and no matter what religion it is, will bring you to God as a person who will have the joy of heaven and eternal life with God. That is simply an illusion. If religion or good works can atone for your sins and take you to heaven, then Jesus need never have come from heaven to die on the cross and to rise again to restore our broken relationship with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him, because he is truly God, became truly man, and died on the cross as our substitute and sin-bearer, was raised the third day, ascended back to heaven, and he is returning to this earth soon. It's an illusion to think that religion is all that you need, or that good works will somehow save you or atone for your sins. What we all need to do is face all of our illusions in the light of the cross of Jesus. Perhaps the best-known chapter in Ecclesiastes is chapter 3, which says there's a time for everything. It's a beautiful chapter. Poems and songs have been written and sung from this beautiful chapter in chapter 3. Let's take a look at it for a while. Let me read it to you. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain for all his toil, Solomon says? I've seen the burden God has laid upon men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Now is the time, dear friend, to stop chasing the wind. Now is the time to make sure that you're ready to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conclusion of the matter, when you look at life under the sun, as Solomon did, trying everything under the sun to find lasting satisfaction and fulfillment, the conclusion of the matter is, as we said earlier, given to us at the end of his book. Here is the conclusion: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in his letter to the church at Corinth, states it in these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. So, in the light of where Jesus is in heaven, the fact that he's coming again, we make it our goal to please him, says the Apostle Paul, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Almost a quotation from what Solomon says at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Paul, of course, writing in the full knowledge of the coming of Jesus the first time, his death, resurrection, and ascension, and his second coming to judge the world in righteousness, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things well done in the body, whether good or bad." As we consider the reality that life is short and judgment day coming soon, there are three words that sum up the wisdom that Solomon is trying to impress upon us as we close. These are the words: remember, revere, and resolve. Solomon is imploring his hearers, especially those who are young, to remember God. Life without him is in the end meaningless. If only he had remembered God at the start of his life. If only he had listened to his father David when he was young, he could have avoided the mistakes he made and the confusion, disappointment, and trauma that he experienced that robbed him of the life God wanted him to live. We too, dear friend, must remember, daily remember, that the price of not putting God first in our lives is too high a price to pay. So our next word from Solomon is the word revere. For reverence for God is, according to Solomon, and of course he is right here, the beginning of wisdom is reverence for God. Jesus said to his own disciples, "Fear him who has the power to throw you into hell." Solomon says, "Fear the Lord." Jesus says, "Fear him, because he has the power to throw you into hell." The reason why people outside the church today don't fear God is because people inside the church today don't fear God either. Remember and revere. And our third word is resolve. Resolve this very day that from here on you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For if you do that, you will find, as Jesus says, everything else is added to you. So in the final analysis, the book of Ecclesiastes is really simply reinforcing the message of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. Wisdom, dear friend, is living in the light of what God has revealed to us in His Word, and fully and finally in Jesus, His eternal Son, our Redeemer. Wisdom is living in a right relationship with Jesus, who is wisdom personified, as we saw last Sunday morning. We are created with a God-shaped vacuum that only Jesus can fill. So don't live as Solomon did, with the illusion that this world and its offerings can fill that gap. That's like chasing the wind. Every one of us has a void within us that only God Himself, our Maker and Redeemer, can fill. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this book of Ecclesiastes, the word from King Solomon, who sees himself as the preacher, the teacher, as the one who is like the speaker of the house. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may consider very carefully, if we've never done so before, all the things that Solomon tried in his quest to find lasting fulfillment and satisfaction in this world, trying literally everything under the sun because he had the power and the wealth to do it. Help us, Lord, not to be so foolish, but to recognize and to remember. And dear Father, to resolve this very day that we will revere You, that we will seek first Your kingdom, Your reign, Your right way for our lives, knowing that when we do this, everything else will be added to us. Thank You that in Jesus You have made Yourself fully known to us. Thank You that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life. Thank You that Jesus came not to give us another religion, but He came saying, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. And we thank You for the fullness of life that is found when we repent of our sin, place our trust in Jesus, receive Him as our Savior and Lord, receive the Holy Spirit of God as the one who is able to give us new birth into the family of God and fullness of life as we follow God. And so help us to fix our eyes not on the things this world can offer, which in the end are simply illusions and meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Help us, dear Lord, each one, to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strife. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He
his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day.